This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by a remarkable CEO, Dr. Tony Slonim. Dr. Slonim is the CEO of the renowned health system in the greater Reno area in Nevada, and he's really just a remarkably effective and fascinating leader. Thrilled to get to visit with him today. Dr. Slonim, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Scott. And it's a pleasure to join all of you today as we go through. I've been the president and CEO here at Renown Health now for the last 6.5 years, and so excited to work with the great team that we've assembled to improve the health and the health care of Nevadans.
And take a moment, Dr. Slonim, and tell us about sort of the last 6.5 years. What's going on at Renown Health, maybe a few points of pride in the system, and so forth.
Absolutely, and thanks for the opportunity, Scott. You know, there's so much that we're proud of here. I think a couple of things have been great. We have enjoyed the ability to recruit some outstanding talent to our team. Over the course of the last bunch of years, we have been on a journey to differentiate ourselves in terms of health and healthcare. Healthcare, the things that we do for people when they're sick and injured, while all health systems have that responsibility for their community, we also recognize, wouldn't it be so much better to prevent people from actually getting sick and injured? And so as we're advancing our population health strategies, it's been duly focused on prevention and assuring that people have the illness care that they need when they get sick or injured. And so that's been a particularly important grounding principle. The second thing I think that we're very proud of is our growth. While we have grown substantially, that's not necessarily been by acquisition. We've not bought more hospitals or increased hospital bed capacity. What we've done is we've grown in the community. We've grown in terms of our telehealth strategy over the course of a number of years, even before COVID. We've reached out into the community and put what we call neighborhood care sites in place so that people can access care right around the block from where they live. And that's been particularly helpful for our most vulnerable community members. The third thing which we're very, very proud of is our Healthy Nevada project, where we've taken what we believe to be a forward-looking approach to screening, genetic screening in the community. We now have 55,000 members of our community that have shared their DNA with us. We've added that to a large data warehouse with our clinical data, the social determinants of health, and the environmental data to be able to better predict the risks for illness and disease in our community. As I like to refer to it, Scott, this is one of the biggest strategic planning initiatives we have going and gets us to the issue of genomic prevention. If you actually know what people are at risk for, you can help them not only screen, but modify their behaviors to reduce their risks for illness and disease. That's a couple of things we're doing out here in Nevada.
And fantastic. And I love the concept of expanding the footprint without necessarily adding lots of bricks and mortar hospital beds and keeping oneself as a system a little bit less fragile. Let me ask you a different question about leadership. Dr. Slonim, I hear from people at the Renown system, not in often, about what a terrific communicative leader you are within the system, that you hold town halls, that you talk to people, that everybody gets responses. I mean, it's a similar leadership we see from people like Carl Armato and some other great leaders. Talk to us for a moment about leadership and about what advice you would give to other leaders. What thoughts do you have there?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, and thank you so much for the compliment. I believe it's the CEOs. You know, CEOs are responsible for two major things, strategy and culture. And Our approach to advancing our culture is to make sure that you connect with people. Our employees are our greatest resource in terms of the way we provide care. And I always like to share for emerging leaders is kind of the three things that I think have helped me in my journey in leadership that I would hold out there for others. First, find a mentor. Mentorship has been the difference for me, and I have so many great colleagues around the country who I pick up the phone and stay in touch with, who have been instrumental in my career and just are available at any time to answer a question, to run something by, and to offer an opinion. Mostly it's about talking it out yourself that gives you the answer that's relevant and apparent. The second thing I always encourage emerging leaders to do is put your hand up first. If there's an opportunity, volunteer for the job. Say you're going to be the one to take the opportunity and bring it to the next level. I know in my career that has served me well. And finally, I think that you can plan your career. People will give you advice about your career. People will say, hey, by the way, have you thought about doing this? Or you thought about where you might go? Pay attention, because when people give you advice about how you can plan your career, you can actually do it, implement it, and create the strategic planning process for your own career and live it out deliberately instead of by chance. And I think those are three pieces of advice I'd give to emerging leaders as they're going about their career.
So two follow-up questions on mentors. Advice on people finding a mentor, and then second, any shout-out on people that have mentored you that you'd like to give, and how was it helpful to be mentored?
Absolutely. I mean, finding a mentor is really one of the most intimate personal relationships that you can have. You want to make sure that you have someone with you who can listen to you, has your best interests in hand, can really dissect where you're doing well and give you constructive feedback about ways you can improve. And for me, I've been so blessed. Any number of mentors in my career, going back to a really early age, a great physician. I'm a physician by background, a great physician executive early on by the name of Dr. Murray Pollack, who was my research mentor and my administrative mentor. Even to this day, some just amazing colleagues and true, true mentors. Nancy Agee from the Carilion Clinic, who took me under her wing many years ago when I was a young executive at the Carilion Clinic and became the vice president of pharmacy and medical affairs. And as wonderful as could be, Barry Ostrowski from RWJ Barnabas Health, who's just been an incredible leader and mentor to me over time, and highlights the fact that, wow, you're a doctor. Shouldn't we have more doctors running healthcare? And gave me opportunities and guidance that I am so appreciative of.
Well, fantastic. And talk for a moment about your top three priorities today at Renown Health. What are the top three priorities you look at right now?
I think the priorities for us, obviously, as we're continuing to battle through COVID, we want to make sure that we're doing what we need to do for the benefit of our community. We don't know exactly where the pandemic is going. We want to make sure our ear is to the ground and that we're doing the things we need to do from a care provision perspective, a prevention perspective, a testing perspective, to make sure that our community is safe. That's what they expect from us on the daily. And so that's one. The second thing I think is it can get overwhelming. You want to make sure that you're not only managing the pandemic, but you're executing on strategy. And for us, that's about the execution of a clinically integrated network that we've stood up. This is about our primary care model and ensuring that we're doing those kinds of things. And it's about advancing that genomic prevention work I talked about before. If we could help people understand their risks for illness and disease, and most importantly, get them to engage and change their behavior so that they could live healthier, that's the holy grail about what we're trying to do on the health side of the equation here in Northern Nevada.
In terms of getting people to change their own behavior, as all of us realize in watching COVID-19 and watching so many things, heart disease and so many other things, it's not that you blame the victim, because of course we don't, but we do realize that you know, half our country almost is obese. Half of this has to do with compliance, taking care of ourselves, improving health. And then a lot of it's out of our controls. But how do you move the needle on some of these things, like improving one's own health and trying to make that a priority?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think, you know, one of the most important pieces of my own career that I've been blessed to have is I'm educated not only as an MD, but I have a doctorate in public health. And public health principles are so important for us, not only around prevention, but screening en masse about how we go about identifying the risk factors and then on the public health side, helping people with the behavior modifications that they need to live safely. If anything, the pandemic has demonstrated for us how lightly we take public health interventions as a society. And I think we have to do more to strengthen what the contribution for public health can be and what the role of the health system is in advancing those public health contributions. For sure, we have lived in a place across the nation. I like to say here at Renown Health, we're all in on population health. And the number of chronic diseases we face in our community that need intervention are so important. When you layer on, and I don't think, Scott, that we've seen the full breadth of this, the contribution of chronic diseases that will come as a result of COVID, impacts on the neurological system, the cardiovascular system, the pulmonary system, things we have not yet even appreciated yet, the chronic disease burden in our society is going to increase and will require that we get our arms around how we help people modify their behaviors. Because it's not, we weren't doing such a good job before, and now COVID has added a new burden of chronic disease on top of that that will need to be wrestled with.
And Dr. Swanham, couldn't agree with your comments anymore. Talk a little bit about your career journey. How did you end up from doctor to leader and so forth?
Well, I'll share with you, it's been a storied career. Everything I've always wanted to do was be a physician and care for patients and families. That was what drove me into this since I was a young child. I had a pretty circuitous course, though. Early on in my career, as a later teenager, I was involved as an emergency medical technician and then an electrocardiographic technician, where I really got experiences in the hospital as a volunteer, as a candy striper. I then went to nursing school and worked for 3 years as an emergency department nurse before going to medical school. Again, it comes back to me to mentorship. I engaged in a very primary care-oriented residency program. I'm an internist and a pediatrician, which gave me that kind of cradle-to-grave experience from the medical perspective and caring for families. But it was only after I started my fellowship in critical care medicine at the National Institutes of Health and Children's National Medical Center that I was able to appreciate that most of the care that we provide, and I'm a clinical care doctor by background, most of the care we provide is potentially preventable. And that's where my real interest in public health came about and my education more formally in public health interventions. I think those lenses help me every day as we try to navigate where we are with Renown in our community.
One more question. The Reno community, is it still very dependent upon the casinos, the entertainment industry, the travel industry? I know it's evolved a lot. It's not quite as reliant on it as it was. So it must be challenging at a time like this. And what's the makeup of the community today?
Yeah, you know, while historically 40% of our economy was based on casinos and the hospitality industry, now that it's in Northern Nevada, in Reno, it's actually a very minor piece of our economic contribution. So it's about 7-8% now of our total economic impact, where people have invested in what we call the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and we have now large logistics companies, manufacturing companies. So we've got Google headquarters here, Tesla headquarters here, Panasonic headquarters here. The community has migrated beyond gaming and hospitality to much more tech and logistics as a part. And that's forced us as a healthcare system to really rise up to the expectations that our community is asking for on the health and the healthcare side. How are we driving prevention and working out and addressing the issues that people want advice on, like nutritionals and exercise? It's a wonderful place to live with 300 days of sunshine, very outdoors, lots of activities. And it's so nice to see some of these other industries evolve so that we can live healthier as a community.
So it's not, Las Vegas is heavily dependent on the casinos and so forth. It still has the great slogan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but Reno is different today. It's tech, logistics, casinos, and a lot more.
Exactly. And a great place to live healthy because we've got a great outdoor entertainment area. We're a half hour from Lake Tahoe where there's everything from swimming to biking to hiking. It's a really amazing place to live with 300 days of sunshine, Scott. Who can beat that?
Just magnificent. Dr. Slonim, it is such a great pleasure to visit with you today. It's really an amazing career to watch you have. It's an amazing evolution from nurse to doctor to leader of the National Institutions of Health. Great respect for great mentoring you've received over the time. And I just hear great feedback about you, most importantly from renowned employees and nothing more important than that. So, and renowned leaders. Dr. Slonim, thank you so much for joining us in the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Scott, it's been a real pleasure to catch up again. Thank you.